We're turning back to the portion that we were reading from, Joshua chapter 5. And this afternoon, we're going to consider the words of verse 12. The latter part of the verse where we read, "But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." And with God's word open, let's just bow together in prayer, ask the Lord to speak to our hearts, and let's just seek God's face. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We rejoice in thy word as one that findeth and obtaineth great spoil. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth, the oracles of God, this more sure word of prophecy. Lord, thou dost know that we all need a word in season. And we pray therefore that thou wilt take thy word and apply it to all of our hearts. It is not a man to preach and to reach the heart of man. This is the sovereign special work of thy Spirit. Therefore we commit the preaching of the word to thee. We ask, O gracious God, that the Spirit of God himself will lead us and guide us in all truth. Encourage our hearts, Lord. Speak to us by the way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. For the people of God, there are certain scripture texts or passages that are especially precious and dear to each and every believer. I'm sure even, as I mentioned that, even right now, that there is perhaps a verse of scripture, a passage that will come to your mind. A verse that the Lord has used mightily in your heart and in your life. Perhaps the verse that the Lord used in convicting you of your sinfulness before God and before the law of God. Perhaps the message that you heard proclaimed in the gospel. That message that brought you to Christ. I remember some years ago speaking at a nursing home, and after the meeting I was going round shaking the hands of the various people, and I came to this dear elderly man and the tears were just flowing down his face. And as I took him by the hand, I said, "Sir, why are you so upset?" And he said, "Son, I used to know vast, vast portions in the Word of God. I could recite to you chapters from the Bible, but all that I know now is John 3:16. And then he began to quote the text, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And there as he quoted the text, the tears were just rushing down his face. And it no doubt was a precious verse to him. A verse that stood by him. I'm sure that there are verses that you have even in your Bible that are underlined and underscored. And as one man put it, TT, tried and trusted, or tried and tested. There are texts in Scripture that are very personal to me. For instance, Psalm 30 in the verse 3, "O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit." That is a very special verse because it's a verse that the Lord really impressed upon my heart. Many, many times he intervened and stepped into my life. He kept me alive, that I would not go down to the pit. Nahum 1 and 7 is another very precious verse to me. That verse tells us that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The text that I draw your attention to today is a text that has very personal relevance to me. And here in Joshua chapter 5 in the verse 12, "They did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." It's actually marked here in my Bible When I go back just a couple of chapters to Joshua chapter 3 and the verse 4, if you'd like to turn to that verse, I have marked beside that verse these words, 10th of April 2005. It was a day that my mother, after a very, very brief illness, went to hospital, and the Lord spoke to me very powerfully that day about the illness. The latter part of the verse says, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And that day, as there were all sorts of questions in the minds of the family and my mum in particular, what could be wrong? I knew that the Lord was taking me as an individual, as a believer, a way that I'd never been before. And He was preparing me for the loss of my mother. The next day, I was reading in my daily reading plan, and can I say it is good practice to systematically read through God's Word. If you don't have a reading plan, you should seek to obtain one. Read through the Bible at least once a year. I was reading systematically through. So that was my reading on the 10th of April. Then on the 11th of April, the very next day, 2005, I came to this verse 12 where it says, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. That very day, the 11th of April, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. Of course, there were all sorts of thoughts as to treatment, the way forward, chemotherapy, the time span involved. But as I read that verse, I knew deep within my heart that my mother would not see the year out upon Mother Earth. The Lord spoke to me very powerfully that very year, that year 2005, she would enter into her spiritual Canaan and go home to glory. It's a very personal verse to me. I'm glad that whenever the wind and the waves of sorrow roll, when we're faced with adversity, with trials, temptations, you know, when we feel crushed and broken, that we have a more sure word of prophecy, that we have a staff on which to lean, the word of God. Praise God, amongst the changing circumstances of life, and life is so changeable, that we have a God, He is unchanging, that we have a word that is sure, that is immutable. I never thought that I would preaching this text of Scripture because of its personal significance to me and relevance. However, the Lord really laid this verse upon my heart during this week. Spoke to me about the verse, that this was the verse in the passage that I should be preaching on today. And then I was greatly encouraged, if you're reading Spurgeon's devotions morning and evening, you will already perhaps have read that this is the text for January the 1st. And I happen to turn to his devotional book. Now, I'm not actually using that devotional this year. I'm using a different devotional book. But I turned to it and opened it up. And to my amazement, there was a verse. And the Lord just confirmed, this is a verse. Although it's a very personal verse, it's a verse for today. And so, today I want to speak on the subject of entering into Canaan. Here in our passage we see that there is, first of all, the promise of entering into Canaan. As we think here of God's people and how they've now entered into the promised land, and they were now going to go in and they were going to possess that land. They were now entering into blessing and all the benefits that God had in store for them. It's important that we understand the time scale involved. Turn with me back to Genesis in the chapter 12, please. Because here in Genesis chapter 12 in the verse 1, We read about the promise that was first of all given to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Here we find at this stage in Abraham's life, he is an old man. He is 75 years of age. He receives the promise of God that God is going to bless the nations of the world through him. God is going to give him a son of promise. God is going to bring him into a new land. And yet we find that it was some 25 years later before the first of the promises were fulfilled to Abraham in the birth of Isaac, his son. And then from Isaac, we have the birth of Jacob and Esau. Jacob then with the birth of his 12 sons, and of course how Joseph was brought providentially into Egypt. The Lord was providing for his people, and there how the brothers of Joseph and their families, how they went into Egypt, and there they dwelt, and there they lived. We read in the book of Exodus, in chapter 1, how that Joseph and his brethren and all their families, how that generation, how they passed away. There was now a new era in view. God raises up Moses, the man of God. And at the age of 80, so some 80 years later, we find that he is now leading the people out of Egypt. 40 years in the wilderness. And yet despite the passage of time, and all the events that took place, we find that God remained true to his word. That God did bring his people, as promised, into Canaan. Praise God, we can rest wholeheartedly on all that the Lord has said. God is not a man that he should lie. Child of God, we ought to be greatly encouraged when we think of the fact that our God is true to his word. Perhaps God has given you a word, a promise. Even many, many years ago, some time ago, and you've yet to see the fulfillment of that promise. Can I encourage you today not to lose sight of the Lord? The very fact that God is true to his word. When I was just a young Christian, I learnt at a prayer meeting of the need to believe God and trust God for what he promised. I was only a young Christian. I think I was saved about 2 years. I was involved with an outreach team. We went around Northern Ireland. There was a group of us, around about 40 of us, witnessing, handing out gospel tracts, seeking to reach others. Great times of blessing. But we used to have very frequent prayer meetings. And one occasion we had a prayer meeting up in a farmhouse in Dromore. And it was a night that was very special. Because it was, in effect, a night where God really came and answered prayer. It was a night when, even as a young Christian, I felt that the Lord was there in the midst. God was hearing our petitions and our requests. And I always remember the prayer of Reverend Noel Hughes. And at that time, our brother, Reverend Hughes, hadn't even entered into college. He was just a young boy. I think he was 17 years of age. He was a street preacher. He used to preach in the streets of Belfast, in particular in Cornmarket. But I remember that night as we were praying. And as God's servant was laying hold on God, he prayed for my father. And this is what he prayed. He said, Lord, I believe with all of my heart that in time you will save Chris's father. And Lord, right now, I want to thank you for answering that prayer. And after that, we, in a sense, broke out into praise, thanksgiving. You know, it seemed at times that the promise would not be fulfilled. For many, many years, my dad showed little interest in the things of God. Then he started attending the Free Church, but he was a hard man to the gospel. A very hard man. Just 1 week before his death, I had the joy of pointing him to Christ. Why? Because God is true to his word and to his promises. Here we find in Joshua in the chapter 5 and the verse 6, we read here, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land. And then these words we read, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. You see, there are their forefathers. They had been given the promise. God had given them that word that he would bring his people into the land of promise. And so here, as God's people, as they had now entered into the land of Canaan, they were about to possess the blessings and the land before them. They were able to look back. They were able to look back with confidence at all the things that God had done. How with an outstretched arm he brought them out of Egypt. How he had fed them and clothed them in the wilderness. How he had provided for them. How he had guided them. How he had protected them, preserved them. How he had blessed them above all measure. Now God's people were able to look forward to this new year, this new day as it were. And they were able to look forward with confidence, knowing it was the same God who would lead them into blessing. But I want you to also consider here the preparation for entering into Canaan. Not just the promise, but also the preparation. You see, God's promises are always conditional upon obedience. If you look here with me at Genesis, or Joshua in the chapter 5 and the verse 2, here we read, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Circumcision was a physical sign used to identify all the male descendants of Abraham. Had to do with the covenant that God made with his people. We read about that in Genesis chapter 17. But here we read about the reason why this took place. Look at verse 4, it says, and this is the cause, or the reason, why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that come out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. This generation that had been born in the wilderness, they had not been circumcised. And here before they were able to enter into obtaining the blessings and the land before them, they must be circumcised. In other words, there must be a renewing of the covenant, a restoring of that covenant between them and the Lord. Speaks of consecration. We think of the circumcision that took place, a part of the flesh was cut off. A sign of the covenant. And can I say that as God's people, we need to have cut off from our lives anything that would be a hindrance to the blessing of God. Turn with me, please, to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians, and the chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, and the verse 8. And here we read in the chapter, about the need to mortify the deeds of the flesh, the need to die unto self, unto sin, to live unto Christ and righteousness. Look at verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. What are we to put off? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. We're to lie not one to another. Then look at verse 12. Verse 8 speaks about the putting off, and then verse 12 speaks about the putting on. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. At times that's not easy. To forbear someone, to put up with them, to put up with their little trait, maybe they do something a little bit differently than you and I would do, but the Lord says, for the cause of the gospel, for unity in the church, we're to forbear it, we're to put up with it. You know why? Because there's things about us that others have to forbear and put up with. A putting off and a putting on. The need for consecration. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Let me say this. That as we stand and as we plead for the promises of God and pray that God would indeed bless us and lead us into blessing, it is essential. Essential that the flesh is cut off. It is a prerequisite, a must, if we are to enter into blessing. When it comes to the new year in particular, many people make all sorts of resolutions. They're going to be determined to lose a weight. They're going to resolve to save more, be financially secure, etc. But what about the spiritual man? What about being resolved more and more to become more like Christ? What about the anger, or the pride, or the jealousy in our lives? What about the bitterness? What about the backbiting? What about the murmuring and complaining spirit? Where is the resolution? We need that resolution to, as it were, to put the flesh to death, to go through with God. Salvation always results in the work of sanctification. As we would seek God's will for our lives in 2012, we can be absolutely certain with the words of verse, or with the words of 1 Thessalonians 4 and the verse 13, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Child of God, here is the will of God for every one of our lives, that you and I become more like Christ, that there be a cutting off of the flesh, the old man, the old nature, that more and more we become like Christ. The Lord desires to bless us. He desires to lead us into victory in this year. But it's conditional. It's conditional upon personal obedience and holiness. If you look here at Joshua in the chapter 5 and the verse 6, it says here in the verse 6 that those individuals, that multitude who did not enter into the land of Canaan, it says that they were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. How tragic. They missed out with God. They lost out. Whilst others entered into blessing, they didn't. Because of their unbelief, because of their sin, they missed out with God. We've thought of the promise of entering into Canaan and the preparation, but there's also the provision of entering into Canaan. Because here in the verse 12 in our text it says, they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And in this portion we read how the manna ceased. Of course, whenever the Lord gave the manna to his people at the first, it was something entirely new that the Lord had done for his people. When you think about that fact, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they had never partaken of the manna. They had never partaken of that heavenly food. They had never seen that provision. But here we find that God did something entirely new for His people by giving them the manna. And so, as they look back, they were able to look back to that occasion when the Lord did something new by giving them the manna, then giving the quail, etc. As we look back as God's people, we can look back to many blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon our province and even our church. Some feel it's perhaps time to move on. We shouldn't keep looking back, as it were, to the 1859 revival. Yes, we should. To the formation of our church. Seasons of refreshing from the presence of God. Times when God moved in power. You know, I love to listen to those who are elderly in the church as they talk about the days when, you know, it was unusual to have gospel meetings and someone wasn't saved. I love to hear about that. You know, as we think of the fact that God's people, they look back to the time when God did something new, but here they entered into Canaan and they ate the fruit of Canaan that year. In other words, they had the milk and they had the honey. God did something new again for His people. Praise God, the Lord is able to do something new again for us. Milk speaks to us of strength. Honey, of course, speaks of sweetness. And there's nothing like the sweetness of God's Word. Honey also has a healing property. If you, for instance, were to put honey upon an open wound, you'll find that it will heal it up very quickly. You know, as we think of the Word of God, what healing there is in the Word. It's good practice to encourage those who are going through the mill, those who are going through trials, some perhaps finding it difficult. You mightn't be able to speak to them to pick up the phone, but you could write them a letter. You could send them a card. You could just put a verse of scripture on it. Having spent quite a bit of time in hospital, I can tell you from first-hand experience that whenever a Christian comes to visit me in hospital, whether it's my minister, another minister, someone in the church, I want a word from God from them. And I'll tell you why. When you're lying in that bed of sickness, oftentimes it's very, very hard to pick up your Bible. The pain in your body. You're not able to pray. You're struggling. And for someone just to come in and give a word. Oh, the sweetness, the honey of God's Word. But can I say that here as God's people entered into Canaan and entered into blessing, they were that year going to eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. They were going to eat that new fruit. They were going to eat they were going to have the milk and the honey. And can I say that all that we have and all that we need is found in Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, he shall never hunger. He that believeth in me, he shall never thirst. You know, in essence, whenever we pray for blessing, whenever we pray that God will lead us into revival, individually, collectively as a church, you know what we're praying for? We're praying, Lord, give me more of Christ. That's what we're praying for, in effect. Bring me into a new walk with God. If you look here at Joshua 5 and the verse 9, it says here, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. On two occasions, the Lord threatened to destroy the nation of Israel, to start afresh with Moses. Those occasions being the golden calf and the adultery that took place, And then the unbelief of God's people at Kadesh Barnea, they were just on the brink of entering into Canaan, but their hearts were filled with unbelief and they turned back. And for 40 years they walked in the wilderness. However, Moses, he interceded before God. He interceded, he pleaded that the Lord would spare his people, that he would not give the, as it were, the Egyptians a cause to mock God. So in effect, the people bore the reproach of Egypt. Now, Gilgal means rolling or rolling away. And the significance here is that their past, their failures, what had taken place, it's now been rolled away. There's a new beginning, a new dawn, a new start. For some of God's people, they're still living under the reproach of Egypt. Is there a Christian here today in the house of God? Maybe you're living with the shame of those things that you did whilst you were unconverted. And it eats away at you. And it affects you. Maybe it's the feeling of failing God lately, letting the Lord down, and there's guilt, etc. in your life. Let me encourage you, child of God, that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It is Calvary, the cross, that deals with our guilt. I see many people who are caught up in addiction, just an example, and they get clean from their drugs, they come off the various things that they're abusing, whether it's alcohol, the drugs, whatever. And you know, the very first thing that eats them to the core is guilt. They can't live with guilt. Praise God, the cross deals with our guilt. Today, child of God, you can know the victory of Gilgal. The burden rolled away. A new start, a new beginning. Moving on quickly here, I want you to consider here that this was also the pinnacle of entering into Canaan. You see, for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Those 20 years, old and under, were now entering into the promised land. This is what they prayed for, longed for, sought for. But these individuals actually had the privilege of entering in. This was the highlight to their earthly pilgrimage. They entered into blessing. They obtained the promise. What a challenge that is to us today. That we should desire and long after. That we should seek for in our lives. That we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There can be no greater joy. No greater height. Than knowing Christ in a deeper, fuller, more intimate way. What joy Israel experienced when you look here at the verse 10. It tells us here in Joshua 5 that they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the evening. Now throughout Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, there's no record that they kept the Passover. But here we find that the Passover is renewed. That Passover feast, of course, where the lamb was taken, it was slain, it was killed on the 14th day of the month. The blood was taken, it was put in the doorpost, the door lintel of the house. The people had entered inside that night. The Lord was bringing his people out of Egypt and out of bondage. That night the angel of death came and the firstborn died. And so, of course, God's people, they were to do this in remembrance. Now they're about to enter into Canaan to possess the land. They've crossed over Jordan. They're now going to obtain the blessing. And we find here that just as they do that, the Passover is restored. That speaks to us very clearly of getting to the cross. Because the Passover feast, it's a wonderful picture of Christ, the substitute, the one who bore away our sin. Now they're circumcised. They keep the Passover. They thank the Lord for what he has done. Can I say it? There's no greater significance No greater height that we should consider than the cross of Christ and what the Lord has done. When Christ is exalted, the Lord is able to bring us into new blessings, new pastures. There is a height, a pinnacle to knowing Christ. Child of God, there is a height to knowing the Lord that you and I have never reached. A depth of breadth that you and I have never, ever experienced. But in closing, I want you to think here of the picture that there is of entering into Canaan. Because as we've already considered, this portion brings us to consider the blessings the Lord has and wants us to experience for us as we go through with Him. But there is also application with regards to the eternal Canaan. I know that some are of the opinion, some commentators are of the opinion that there is no comparison between the earthly Canaan and heaven. But there are certain lessons that we can most certainly draw and learn from. Look with me here at verse 12. It says in verse 12, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." A very specific time. That year things would never be the same. The hymn writer penned it well. Time as an ever-rolling string bears all its sons away, and time does bring change. And even as the old year closed last night, I reflected. It took time just to think of those persons that I've known who have left this scene of time. Thank the Lord, many of them saved, prepared. Oh, they've entered into their spiritual Canaan, for that was a year they would eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. But some not saved. There are men and women, perhaps in this meeting, even now, and you're not converted. And yet, you know, as we think of the very fact that you have been preserved and spared, God in His mercy has preserved you in mercy. He has kept you alive. Because for you to close your eyes in death would not mean that you would eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan, but that you would be lost in your sin in hell forever. You need to get to the cross. We haven't time, but the Passover we read here, it was restored. And there in that Passover feast, as the lamb was taken and the blood was shed and applied to the doorposts and the door lintel, and as the people entered in, that night as the angel of death came, you know, it was an act of faith. It was an act of faith. Because there inside the house, the Israelites had faith that the blood would save them and spare them. And that when God would see the blood, He would pass over them. By faith, you need to come to Christ. You need to be prepared. You need to be ready. For some present, even me, this could be the year that we will eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. They ate the Passover in the plains of Jericho. As they were about to go forward, we haven't time, but We would read there of how they encountered the great city of Jericho, and they're faced with trial, and they're faced with opposition, and they're going to have to possess this land by faith. But you know, as they step out, the Passover has been reinstated. They've waited before God. And can I say, child of God, that as we step out into this year, we do not know what trials, we do not know what blessings, we do not know the way before us. But can I say that in all that we face, that we should face it under the shadow of Calvary. That we should meet at the cross and commit our way unto the Lord. They did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. May God bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. In closing, let's turn to the hymn 480, please. 480. And if you're saved by the grace of God and walking with the Lord, we would encourage you to stay. Meet around the Lord's table to remember his death. Opportunity will be given to those who have to leave during the singing of the fourth verse. But just before we sing 480, let's just unite together in prayer and pray that the Lord will bless those who remain and those who have to leave. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that we might go through with God. Lord, as we've read how thy people out of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year, Lord, it's thrilled our hearts to think that God did something new. God fulfilled the promise, and the Lord brought them into blessing. Lord, we plead with thee, please, Lord. Please bring us into blessing. We ask, Lord, that we might know daily what it is to die unto self and sin, that we might know the sanctifying power of thy Spirit. Lord, lead us through with God. Bless those who have to leave and those who will remain. We ask that in all that we say and do, that much will be made of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.